7 tonight. The book of Judges is where we'll be.
Judges chapter number 7. We started preaching last Sunday night out of the book of Judges, and we spoke to you from chapter number 6. And if the Lord will help us, I want to preach to you for just a minute out of chapter number 7. If you find your place and you want to stand, I'll encourage you to do that at this time. And we'll read a few verses together. You're familiar with some of this text, and we'll preach from the majority of chapter number 7. So I'll read a few verses just for the sake of text. But you leave your Bible open if you don't mind, and then that way when we return to the Scriptures, you'll know where we'll be. How about that, okay? Judges chapter number 7, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Go therefore to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. There remained 10,000. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these next moments. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday night, I began to preach to you on the life and death of Gideon. I told you last Sunday night that the story of Gideon can be told in three acts, if you'll let me say it that way. The story of Gideon is told in three acts. In act number 1, we see Gideon test God. You remember from chapter number 6 that God appears to Gideon as he's out threshing wheat. And God says to him, Hail thou mighty man of valor. Now if you read the text, it would seem that Gideon is not a mighty man of valor. Now God was going to turn him into one. This is not my fault for tonight. It just came to me. But aren't you glad that God knows who you'll be when He comes to you? He doesn't just leave you where you're at, but it makes you into something better. And He said, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon doesn't seem like a mighty man of valor. He is hiding himself, has a hiding spot where he's threshing wheat so the Midianites don't see him. The truth is, if the Midianites did see him, then they would have come and taken the wheat from him. Therefore, when the angel reveals to him and calls him this mighty man of valor, Gideon doesn't seem like such. In fact, and this was our thought for last Sunday, when God tells Gideon that he's going to use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites, Gideon responds with questions. And 4 times in chapter number 6, Gideon expresses doubts and fears and questions. In fact, it was those 4 questions we talked about. Most of us, if we're honest, most of us have been like Gideon was. In fact, if you didn't hear that message or you did hear it, I would encourage you to go back and re-listen to it, because most of us are not so different than Gideon. We are oftentimes filled with doubts and fears and questions. And when chapter 6 comes to a close, Gideon puts God to 2 final tests. And both of them involve the fleece. You remember that. And I told you as we close that Gideon did not need to test God with the fleece, because Gideon had God's Word. God's Word is a sure foundation that you and I can rest our hopes in, rest our fears in, and rest our questions on. It was the Quaker poet John Greenleaf Whittier that once wrote, Nothing before, nothing behind the steps of faith. Fall on the seeming void and find the rock beneath. You see, the rock that poet wrote about is the faith that we express in God's Word, and when we step out in faith into that void, we discover under us the Word of God that is sure and steadfast, that helps us and gives us strength when we do what God tells us to do. So Gideon had God's Word, but Gideon was full of doubt. So we see in Act number 1, Gideon tests God. But when we come to Act number 2, we see that things change. And if you're keeping notes, point number 1 would be that, Gideon tests God. But number 2, it would be this, God tests Gideon. God tests Gideon. When we come to chapter number 7, we come to Act number 2. That a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And God in chapter number 7 is going to test Gideon and test his faith. Now let me say this before we get too far into it. Someone will ask the question, why is it that God tests our faith? And that is exactly what we're... And we wonder sometimes, why does God test our faith? Well, I believe that God tests our faith for two reasons. First of all, God tests our faith to show us whether our faith is real or not. You see, if we just said we had faith, or we even just maybe even believed a little bit in our heart that we had faith, but the test of that faith never come, we would never know whether that faith was real or not. Does that make sense? Sometimes God has to let us step out in faith to find out whether we really have faith. I believe if you'd asked those disciples before they got on that ship in Mark chapter number 8 whether they had faith, they would have said, yes, sir, we're the closest men. They would have probably showed you their degrees and all the things that they've done. And they would say, we have got faith. Surely, if anybody's got faith, it's us. But when the storm came and the test came, they found out how deep their faith really was. In fact, the Lord's response was, where is your faith? That was his response to them. So God tests our faith. Now, we don't enjoy it, but God tests our faith to find out whether to show to us whether our faith is real or not. But God not only tests our faith to show us whether it is real or not, but God tests our faith in order that he might strengthen our faith. Faith is like a muscle, and the more we use it, the stronger that it grows. It was Dr. Warren Wiersbe that said, I've noticed in my own life and ministry that God has often put us through valleys of testing before allowing us to reach great mountain peaks of victories. You see, God lets us go through things time and again so that he can not only prove our faith, but so that he can strengthen our faith and make our faith stronger tomorrow than it is today. Look again at verse number 1, and we'll watch as God begins to test Gideon. Bible says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And here it comes. Here it is, verse number 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. I told you last Sunday night that it was understandable that Gideon was a little afraid when he went into this battle. You think about something with me, just statistically speaking. The Midianite army consisted of 135,000 men. That's what chapter number 8 tells us. 138,000 men. And this army comes against Israel, and Gideon gathers all of his brethren together. He calls to the tribes and says, come and help me. God's going to deliver Midian to us. And everybody comes, and he takes roll call and attendance. And when he does, and it's all over with, Gideon has 32,000 men. Now, I don't know about you, but 32,000 against 135,000 does not seem like a fair fight to me. Now, I went to Carnes, but I did my math on this. If they had 32,000 and the Midianites had 135,000, that meant that they were outnumbered something close to 4-1. Now, I'm not tough, but I might be able to take one of you. But if four of you come against me, my odds are pretty slim. Isn't that right? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, 4-1 isn't good odds. What's interesting is this, according to chapter number 7. Just before Gideon and Israel go to face Midian, God tells Gideon this. God said, Gideon, your army, it's too big. This whole time, Gideon's been thinking, my army's not big enough. And now God says, it's too big. Gideon, your army is too big. They are outnumbered 4-1, 135,000 to 32,000. And God said, you've got too many. I want everybody that's afraid to go home. Gideon, go tell them that if they are fearful, that it's okay. Just go to the house. When Gideon announces to the army of 32,000, God said, everybody that's afraid, go home. He takes roll call again, and he's gone from 32,000 to 10,000. I did my math on it again, Brother Scott. Now he's outnumbered 13-1. For every one Israelite, there's 13 Midianites. When the Lord gives this strange instruction, he tells him this. He said, Gideon, you've got too many in your army, and I can't give Midian over to you, because if you won this battle, then you would say, we did it. He said, Gideon, I want to get this thing whittled down so that when the battle is won, there's only one logical explanation, and it is this: God gave us the victory this day. When the Lord does it, he wants Gideon to know, he wants Israel to know that he is the one that delivered the Midianites into their hands. For Gideon to send one third of an army home, friend, that took faith. But can I say that victories won in faith are victories that God gets the credit for? Allow me to say that there's a great lesson in this. There's a great lesson when we learn to place our situations into the hand of God. There's a great lesson when God tests our faith. You see, those who live by faith realize their own weaknesses, and they learn to depend on the strength of God because they know that they are not strong enough. You see, God every once in a while has to kick all the props out from underneath us that we have built ourselves up on, so that when we do have victory in our life, we know that God is the one that gave us that victory. Oh, yeah. If our faith was never trusted, if our faith was never tested, then how would we know how strong God really is? How could we know how strong God really is? Now watch this. We're not done. Verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are too many. The people are yet too many. Bring them down under the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. But he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. Let all the other people go every man unto his own place. Now, I don't know that it happened this way, but maybe, just maybe, in my mind, I can picture Gideon as he sends the fearful soldiers home. And maybe he sends the fearful home. No captain wants to lose one-third of his army before he starts a fight, but you know, sometimes we try to pep ourselves up and make ourselves think it's going to be okay. And maybe Gideon says something like this: well, if they were afraid, they need to go home anyways. And I don't have many left. I've got 10,000, but at least these are brave men. And these are strong men. These are the best of the bunch anyways. And I believe we can do it. I think God's going to let us do it. You know, we did the whole fleece thing. And I've got this 10,000 group of brave men. And some way, somehow, we'll get her done. We'll get it done. And I don't know that Gideon did that, but in my mind, I can see him thinking that. At least I've got the brave ones. And then here comes the voice of God. Gideon, excuse me. He said, yes, sir, God, what is it now? God said, there's still too many. Gideon, there's still too many of them. Let me just say this, and I think that you'll be in the same boat that I am right here. How many of you have ever had your faith stretched to the point that you thought you were going to break? You, honest to goodness, thought that you were in a position that you could not handle anymore. You could not handle anything else. That God has put your faith to the very max. And just about the time you think that you have reached the breaking point and the very end of your rope, God speaks from heaven and says, oh, by the way, one more thing. Maybe you've never been there, but I've been there. There have been times in my life that I did not think I could go on one more step. I did not think my faith could be stretched any further than what it was already stretched. And just about the time I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to handle this by the grace of God, God shows up and says, let me add just one more thing. I've been there, friend. You have problems at work, and you have problems at home, and you've got problems with the bills, and you think nothing else could possibly go wrong, and then the car breaks down. Right? You're dealing with the kids, and you're dealing with maybe a sick relative, and you're dealing with something in your own personal life, maybe in your marriage, and something all of a sudden out of nowhere. Here comes something when you think nothing else bad could happen today. How many of y'all have learned to stop saying, it can't get any worse? I've learned to stop saying that. Well, it can't get any worse. I found out that when I say it can't get any worse, it's the universe or something says, oh yeah, big boy, let me show you. But sometimes God does that. God does that to our faith. We think to ourselves, I'm stretched as far as my faith could possibly be stretched. And then God gives us something else. And you say, why does God do that to me? God does that to you because He is teaching you that your faith is bigger than you ever imagined it could be. When you think your faith is this big, and God brings you to this point, and then He gives you a little more, you discover that your faith was maybe just a little bigger than you thought it was. And you know what will happen? The next time something will come, it'll probably start around here, and God will make it like this. And then by the time it's over with, you're dealing with big things that, in fact, let me say this, if you live for God long enough, there may be times that you're dealing with things that are this big, but when you first started walking with Christ, all you thought you could handle was something like this, but you found out that God was faithful here, and then you learned that God was faithful here, and you learned that God had strength for this thing, and you learned that God was bigger than anything that could come into your life. And you say, God, I can't handle one more thing. And God said, oh, yeah? You say, God, I can't handle anymore. And God said, let me show you. Because what we eventually learn to do if we're doing this thing right is we eventually learn to become like the Apostle Paul and say, when I am weak, he is strong. And we realize at some point, right here, it's all about you and me. But eventually we get out here and we realize this ain't us anyways. It is God all the time. And we learn to say, when I am weak, he is strong. And his grace and his strength is made perfect in my weakness. You most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ could rest upon me. You see, God is straight. Watch this. Watch this, Brother James, in the life of Gideon. Chapter number 6. I'm going to deliver Midian into your hand, but first, go tear down those altars of Baal in your community. And Gideon said, there's no way I can tear those altars down. So he goes and he does it by night. Remember that? He did it by night. He's right here. And then God stretched him a little bit. He said, wow, God helped me with that. His daddy's heart got changed. They didn't kill him. In fact, they had a little bit of revival in his home, and his faith got a little bigger. And he's got those 32,000. And God said, send 22,000 of them home. Now, wait a minute, God. Are you sure about that? We can't do it. And you know what God did? God took him from here to here. And then God said, take them down by the water, Gideon. And he said, you watch them drink. And there's no way you can watch 10,000 men drink at the same time. Gideon probably brought them in companies. And those men that got down on their knees and just drank, he said, I want y'all to stand over here. And those men that pulled it up and lapped it like a dog. And we have all sorts of different rationales for that. We don't know why God did it that way. The truth is, we don't know. God put no emphasis on that. God was just thinning out the herd is all he was doing. And he said, you separate those men over here. And when it's done, there's 300 over here, and there's 9,700 over here. I'd rather have the 9,700. But God said, take the 300, and we're going to stretch faith one more time, Gideon, and I'm going to show you just how little you are and just how big that I am. And with the 300, Gideon, I'm going to deliver Midian into your hands. Yeah, God stretched it out there. God is stretching his faith. Hey, God is testing Gideon now. But I love this. I love this. Look at verse number 7. Hopefully you still got your Bible open. Look at verse number 7. When God whittles down the army to 300, a wonderful promise comes in verse number 7. It said, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, and I marked these words, you ought to mark them too, I will save you. I want you to see a couple things right here. I want you to see, first of all, that God one more time gave Gideon his word. God gave it to him in chapter number 6. God's given it to him one more time. Gideon may not have had a large army to go fight the Midianites, but he had a word from God, and a word from God is better than a great big army. And God said, I'm not going to send you with a bunch of men, but I'm going to send you with my word. And if you've got my word on it, you've got everything you need, Gideon. But I love this. I love this. The truth is, I want you to see this. Gideon had more than enough the whole time. Let me read you a verse. It's from Deuteronomy chapter number 32. The children of Israel are about to cross over into the Canaan land. Moses is about to go up on the mountain and die. And Deuteronomy is Moses' final message to the children of Israel. And he reminds them of everything they've come through, and he gets them ready for the promised land. And he says this in Deuteronomy 32:30. He said, who should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? He's telling them, if you serve me in Canaan, one man will chase 1,000 and two men will run off 10,000. He said, who could do that? And then he answers the question, except the rock that sold them and the Lord had shut them up. He said, if you serve God, he said, one man will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. You know what that means? That means that if Gideon and his men in the promised land went up against the enemy, do you know how many, according to God's promise, they needed to defeat a Midianite army of 135,000? According to Deuteronomy 32:30, they needed 27 men. 27 of them. According, if two can chase 10,000, and God said they could, He said, you need 27. That's how many you need. According to the promise of God, you need 27 to beat 135,000. He said, but I'm going to send you with 300. You say, what's that mean? That means that Gideon had more than he needed all the time. He only needed 27, but God gave him 300. When you allow God to put your faith to the test, there are going to be times you think, no way. There are going to be times you think the supply is too limited, the servants are too limited, and the strength is too limited. But what you'll discover if you just trust God is that He has given you more than enough. He has given you more than enough. And what you thought was not enough was more than enough all the time. God gave him His word, and He gave him more than enough. Act number two, God tests Gideon. Act number three, Israel triumphs over Midian. Israel triumphs over Midian. Look at verse number 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. I love the way chapter 7 progresses. You ought to go home and read it tonight. When Gideon chooses to trust the Lord in his life, God gives him one more promise of reassurance. God says to Gideon, verse number 10, He said, but now if you're still afraid, you see that in verse number 10? But now if you're still afraid, here's what I want you to do. He said, you and one of you men go down into the camp of Midian, He said, and just kind of eavesdrop on what's going on down there. And in this chapter, I can see it, you're reading ahead. I'm trying to tell you the story and you're reading it. Y'all, it's all right. Gideon and one of his men go down there and they overhear two soldiers. And one of them had a dream, Brother James. And in his dream, basically a stale piece of bread come running down a hill and knock their tents over. And he's telling his buddy this crazy dream. And his buddy responds, this is nothing more than Gideon. That's what he said. He said, this is nothing more than Gideon. And God's going to deliver us into the hand of Israel by Gideon. And Gideon's in the bushes listening to the whole thing. I love that. I love that because it shows us that God understands our doubts and fears. God had given Gideon multiple promises, and God has proven Himself to Gideon time and again. And Gideon had enough to stand on with God's word at his side, and God's proving at his side. Gideon had enough to stand there without any fear, and yet God speaks to him and says, Gideon, if you're still afraid, I've got something else to bring you comfort. Can I say that I have a Bible that is full of promises? Amen? I've got a Bible that is full of promises, a Word of God. Okay? Gideon had two things. Gideon had God's Word. Gideon had the fleece, right? Okay? He had past examples. He had the temple of Baal. He had yesterday. He had the Word of God, and he had yesterday. I have the Word of God. I've got that Bible right there full of good promises. And I can look over my shoulder to yesterday and see all the times that God has been faithful to me. I can see all the times that God has come through when it didn't seem like there was any way that it could turn out good, and God made it good, and there's been times God has fed us and God has clothed us and God has provided for us and God has taken care of those jobs and God has taken care of those children and all that. I've got the Word of God, and I've got yesterday. But there are still some times that God has to speak to my heart and say, if you're afraid, because I am. If you're afraid, Let me give you a little something else. He doesn't have to. He doesn't owe it to me. I've got enough to stand here today and never fear again. But if I face something tomorrow that makes me a little afraid, I've got a God in heaven that loves me so much that says, if you're still afraid, let me give you a little something. And can I ask you a question? If Gideon's still afraid, why didn't Gideon go home with the 22,000? You see, the difference in Gideon and those 22,000 is Gideon was afraid, but there was still a little something inside of him that believed God, and he was going to go on for God no matter what. And there are going to be times you're going to be a little afraid, but you just keep going for God, and God's going to give you a little something here and there to get you through. So Gideon now, he goes down, and he overhears this conversation. And when Gideon gets done, verse number 15, he does two things. He worships God, and then he speaks of his faith to someone else. And those are the two things God wants from us. Gideon had tested God, and God had tested Gideon. Now it comes time for victory. According to verse 15 through 18, Gideon comes up with a simple plan. He gives every man a trumpet to blow, a jar to break, and a light to burn. They would encircle the enemy camp with their lights hidden in the jars and their trumpets in their hands. And just as the children of Israel blew the trumpet and shouted when they overtook Jericho all those years ago, they're going to blow their trumpets, those ram horn trumpets, and they're going to shout because God's going to give them Midian. I can picture the army as they divide into three groups of 100. They sneak around the enemy camp until it's surrounded. Then at the signal from Gideon, they blow their trumpet and they break those jars, revealing that light that is inside. And then they begin to shout something like this, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." That sounds awesome, doesn't it? The sword of the Lord and Gideon. That just sounds good. Can you imagine being a Midianite? They're already a little afraid. God's already started sending them dreams, and this little farmer boy that they've never heard of, they're already afraid of him, and now somebody's hollering his name and something about the sword of the Lord. You can imagine being a Midianite laying there in the middle of the night in the dead of sleep, and all of a sudden trumpets start blowing all around you, and there are lights everywhere that were not there a minute ago, and there's a bunch of crazy Israelites hollering about God's sword, and they wake up, and when they wake up, God gives them a spirit of confusion, and do you know what they start doing? They start killing each other. That's what the Bible says. It says every man fell on his brother. They don't know what to do. They start fighting each other and killing each other. Finally, when they come to some sort of realization, they don't know what to do, so they just start running. And there's no way that 300 men could chase down 135 men. So Gideon starts hollering for help, and from all the tribes of Israel start coming soldiers, start whooping up on the Midianites, start defeating the Midianites. They take the two princes of Midian, and they defeat them too, and they kill them too. And by the time it's all over with, God has delivered Midian into the hands of Israel. Do you know the only thing really and truly? Let's be honest here. The only thing that Gideon really did in this chapter was obey God. That's all he did. Rationally speaking, 135,000 can't be defeated by 300. You could have 135,000 of the worst soldiers and you're going to beat 300. Gideon didn't have some great tactic and strategy and army plan laid out. The only thing that Gideon did was obey God. And what he discovered is that if you just obey God, God can take a little and do something big with it. Amen. I love that song. I love that song. We ought to sing it sometime in the choir. Somebody ought to learn it. I love that song that if I could sing it, I'd sing it, but I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing it. I love that song that says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and we can win it if we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. I'm afraid that too often we have an incorrect understanding of how victories are won in our lives. We think victories belong to those with faith of iron, large bank accounts, perfect lives, and famous names. But the reality is that God's just looking for a Gideon that's willing to march for God in spite of their fears and questions. We think that victories are won by those with large church buildings, limitless programs, fancy preachers, and big budgets. But the truth is that God is just looking for 300 that are willing to chase 135,000. It was the great preacher John Wesley that said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I will shake the gates of hell. Say, I'm not much, preacher. God just wants what you've got. So we're not much, preacher. God just wants what we've got. And 300 could chase 135,000. But Scott, I want you to get us a song. Let's have a verse of an invitation. I don't know that there's anybody that needs to come pray, but if there is, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you need to come pray while he sings, these altars are open.